Oye maklo sevenach ejifrasto. Mochivraste valachlim bechla. Chunde kiecher. Chiecher flaso. Chiejivraso makreste. Ha pochefraso. Know this. There is one that will pray for you beyond your understanding, saith the Spirit of grace. One has been sent straight out of heaven to lift you up in your infirmity, saith the Spirit of grace. And I am that one. I am that one, saith the Spirit of grace. The first thing that I do when I begin to pray for you in the midst of your test is to begin to build divine hope for your future. So know this, that the image of hope, let it arise in your spirit against the report of this world. Do not even try to combat putting those things out, but rather turn into me. And I say to you, I cannot lie. I cannot lie. I cannot lie. And I said in that short book of John that I cannot lie. I say to you today, to my church, I cannot lie. So if my report to you is one of hope for your future, I'm not lying to you. I'm not lying to you. I am not lying to you. No, the hope that I give comes up out of your spiritual belly. It does not come from your mind, but it will fasten itself to your mind, and it will bring it under all ascendancy and bring it to a quietness in my spirit, saith the Spirit of grace. So let Him raise up the standard. Let Him, even I, saith the Spirit of grace, which is hope against all hope. Ayakalosodo. You've overcome in Him. You've overcome in Him. Stay in Him, for all is well, saith the Spirit of grace. Now, Father, in the test, among all those that You're speaking to, You brought an end to every test. You establish, perfect, bringing absolute dominion. We release that hope today. Your grace raises up the standard. We are not destroyed. We are not cast down, but not destroyed. Hallelujah. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also might be made manifest in us. Jesus. Just continue to worship Him out of your own priesthood. Thank you.
you, Lord.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. We worship you, Jesus. Hayachev lo so. Pacho fraso. Hey, Jevako. Jesus. I saw there were hordes, hordes of devils released against the church. They came in great waves. They were pushed back and came in great waves and were pushed back. And then they gathered their strength, gathered their armies and pushed as hard as they could. But they could not overthrow the church. That's you. It's one of those particular times where they've made their arguments plain and pushed as hard. The hordes have come together for that purpose. But I saw the other side of it. God. You know what I saw? He has to put it in plain pictures. I saw us feasting and some of the best times I've ever had has been over at Homer's when he got all them crazy kids together and just laughed and laughed and laughed. We were on the other side of something. Like some big backyard barbecue. We were just, you remember that? Yeah, and that, and my God, that, and that, and that, and that, and that. And the war stories were so thick and long, but we were on the other side of it. I'm telling you this morning that if you'll lift your hands and magnify Him as if it's already there, you'll be there. You'll be there. You'll be there. Please, after this part is over, don't go anywhere. Because what He wants to say to you is going to make could save your life. It really could save your life. And so you've got that much going for you for the rest of this day, just to hear Him. Ezekiel, I tried to almost hold that back. Sometimes people don't know what I'm trying to do for them, saith the Spirit of grace. People look back at a certain point, stand around. Well, okay. Stand around coffins or sit over a cup of coffee in a kitchen and fill out the forms for bankruptcy. Or sit with an old friend and try to restore a relationship. And you know what they'll do? They'll pretty much, if they had a walk with God, they'll go back to a point. Listen, if he does it, now the enemy, he's got a role play too. His role play will come and he'll torment you about where you made the mistake. You can't listen to that rat. But the Holy Spirit, most of the time, even when you didn't think you heard Him, whether desperate, standing around, somebody that left before they're supposed to. Or you're trying to put back a crisis. Something inside of you will go back to a point and say, I know. I know when I begin to miss it. And I know when I did not listen. Do you know what He's trying to do today? He's trying to save you, all of us, from things down the road so that we don't have, that our tears are not tears of remorse. That we say today, my days of not listening are over. I'm an open book. Come and judge, Lord. Come and work a work of grace inside of me so I don't have to look back 10 years from now and say, I knew. Let's say now, I know and I will do. Hallelujah. I know and I will do and I'll follow. Oh, and besides for that part where the memory says, okay, what about the last 10 years? I can tell you this. If you'll step over into Him called grace, it'll be like the last 10 years were never lost. And strength and maturity and restoration of mind and body will come up on top of you so strong you won't even remember what you thought you lost. It'll be just that glorious. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So He's wonderful, isn't He? Hallelujah. He's so wonderful. Hallelujah. I'll bet you, in the midst of a real spiritual moment like this, you could turn your heart inward and listen to Him, and He'd give you an amount to bless what's going on here. I bet He would do that. Because He's just as interested in that part as He is with the other. So, Father, right now, we give You all the glory and praise. Speak to our hearts this morning in our giving. So, Father, when we've done this, we offer it up to You right now. Give You a praise offering with all of our hearts, all of our minds, all of our body. You cannot fail. You cannot fail. So I release Your grace on them to hear. And if they don't hear, they just make that decision in their heart, whatever they purpose in their heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. So, if you need an offering envelope, why don't you prepare yourself? There should be one there close to you if you want credit for your giving. Now, you've already greeted each other, so you won't need to do that again. So, you'll go right back. I know somebody says, oh, I forgot to squeeze you. Say, I don't have time right now. It's just, I don't have time right now. We've got to go back. So why don't you, if you have something, or if you don't, let's all stand together one more time. Hallelujah. You can bring this forward. And then we'll get ready. We'll just go right into the Word here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. We exalt You. Bless You, Jesus. Hallelujah. They're still coming. Man, hold off, Pastor. Hold on. They're trying to put us right into the revival. Hallelujah. One more. This was the one we were waiting on. Hallelujah, Jesus. We exalt You. We bless You. Would you pray over the offering this morning?
Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we are so grateful to be in Your house this morning and to worship You. Your anointing and Your presence is so strong. And we thank You for that. We thank You that we give to You in honor of You. We love You this morning. And we worship You and we thank You for the offering that we will. And we are prosperous. We're continuing. God, You are moving. You are doing a great and mighty work. And You are Just like my son said this morning, forget the last 10 years. It's today. This is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise
Jesus.
Your name.
Hallelujah. It's real dangerous around here to get somebody to pray over an offering. Man, they just... You may be seated. Thanks, guys. Hallelujah. Well, we'll go in. Just like I said, to the Word. Would you stretch your faith this way? Father, I just worship You and thank You for Your great grace that's on this house. We take authority. Immokalee is in revival. Why don't you say it with me? I say that Immokalee is in revival. Immokalee is the place to be. It's the place to live. People are trying to get in here. Not get out of here. Glory be to God. In the revival, people be begging for a place to live here. I say now, I call this the house of God. This city is blessed abundantly. Myriads of angels, atmosphere. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Father, I praise You. Take this opportunity. Now, we have a candle. Our candle is lit. Our candle burns in this part of the state. There are other places, houses of worship, houses of prayer, that are burning and bringing forth an illumination in their part of the state. So, Father, as one of the elders under this candle, I do not usurp a place of ungiven authority, the authority that has been given to us in the Spirit. I pray for this state. I pray that in November that it will vote morality. I pray that it will vote, Lord, pro-life. In Jesus' name. Father, I pray that it will vote for the innocent. I pray that, Lord God, the delegate votes will go in the direction that will speak, Lord, of the blood of the unborn. Father, in Jesus' name, we pray that there will blanket this state an atmosphere that, Lord, those who believe in pro-life, those who do not believe in murder, Lord God, that You will lay Your hand upon them and that You will cause those who follow You and even those who do not know You to hear Your voice. In Jesus' name we pray. Hallelujah to God. Hallelujah to God. Hallelujah to God. What if they... I don't care. If it came down to it and they were standing at the door, they're going to arrest you because you say what the Word says. Pick somebody to get arrested next week because I'm going. And just laugh the whole way. If you say that, if you say who and blah, 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 you're not allowed to say that. Which I guess they do it in the back, don't they, Ken? What if? I don't care. I mean, I might miss them. I sure enough will miss them. Lock me up. You're that... Oh, yeah. See, He hates people like you and me. Because we got a big mouth. Now what I'm praying right there about that had nothing absolutely to do with Republican, Democrat, or who you belong to. That is, and if I couldn't show you ample scripture on what I just did, I wouldn't have done it. I can't show you one or two. I can show you dozens of scripture to back up that you must, as a born-again believer, vote morality. You must. You don't have any other choice. Well, I blub. No, you don't have any other choice. You don't. Well, I disagree. Disagree. But you're not disagreeing with me. You're disagreeing with the Word of God. I don't care. Hallelujah. Ruth? All morning.
Seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then I will hear them from heaven, forgive their sins, and will heal their land.
Hallelujah. 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 Praise you, Jesus. I believe it. Turn with me to Romans. You'll be glad you stayed. The 10th chapter. We're going to go to several scriptures, so we won't be long on each one. Some of this will be 101, old hat, but it'll be old hat with new anointing. Hallelujah. Oh my God, He's here strong. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, real quick synopsis. Paul does a great job in the book of Romans writing who you have become. All the way up to Romans 8. And boy, in Romans 8, he comes across and lets you know that not only have you, there's no condemning sentence on you. Not meaning, help me, Holy Spirit. Sometimes you know so much, you want to preach every bit of it. Not meaning the way most people use it, like, I'm not under condemnation about what I did. No, that's right. You shouldn't be under condemnation since you've come under the blood. But the therefore there's no condemnation had nothing to do with the way that most people use that, or even preachers. It was a conclusion of a legalistic argument. When a man in the book of 7th chapter was saying, I cannot do the things I want to do because I'm under sin. And do you know some preachers, God bless them, they still think that's a born-again believer. They really do. They think that's a born-again believer with an argument saying, I'm having a bad flesh day. Paul took the first person of all the Old Testament Jews and those who lived up to the cross and said, this is the condition of who we were. When we wanted to do good, we couldn't do it. Why? Because I found a law as close as, well, how close was it? It was ever present. Yeah, I can say it's ever present. It's living inside of you until you're born again. Romans 8 is the crux. The crux. You know what a crux is? It's the pendulum swing. Romans 8 is the crux of the whole New and Old Testament. There is therefore now, after Jesus has come, no, it's like the gavel has come down from the Father and says, sin can no longer have dominion over you. You don't have to do what you don't want to do anymore, because now you're no longer under a dispensation where they served me from the law and I had to command them and say, do this, do that. Because you don't really have my nature inside of you. I've got to treat you like disobedient children. Now you've been born again, and sin doesn't have to ever have dominion over you anymore. You're free from sin. No more condemnation of sin. Hallelujah to God. And then on top of that, he tagged the Holy Ghost. 8:26, he said he'd pray for you and make intercession for you with the groanings that you could not articulate yourself. He'd bring it to pass. But then when he went into 9, 10, and 11, he kind of put a parenthesis around that, went into dealing with the Jews because of their present problem of accepting Christ. And this was amazing. When he goes back into 12, he goes right back almost like he had a hiccup from 8 to 12. 9, 10, and 11 was he was dealing with the Jews. And he's talking about at the end of 8 that the Holy Spirit will make intercession for you. And then, oh, wait a minute, I'll step over here in this bracket of parentheses and talk about the Jews and the hard time they're having with salvation. But then when in 12, he goes right back into saying that we can be renewed by the conforming of our mind, transformed by the renewing of our minds, that the Holy Spirit, he goes right back. It's just like he never lost his thought from chapter 8. But 8, 9, 10, and 11, he's telling this. And this is amazing. It goes right to us when you understand the problem they were having. He says, brethren, verse 1 of chapter 10, Romans. My heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is this, that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge, those that were not yet born again. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, which is of Christ, that's my words, but that's what he's saying, going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of, and I'll say this, the blood of Jesus Christ. They're still serving him under old sacrificial law. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Hallelujah to God. I don't have to go around behind you and say, here's the Ten Commandments. Don't commit adultery. Don't sleep around. Don't steal. Don't lie. Why? Because he writes that in your heart now. You follow that in your heart now. Hallelujah. For Moses, verse 5, describeth the righteousness which is of the law. And this was the righteousness of the law. You better do it. You better do it. That the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But here's amazing. But the righteousness that you and I have, the new nature, the born again nature, the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, like this. Say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven? And he put it in a little pigtail on it to let you understand. If you say that in your heart, that is to bring Christ down from above. Or, is he still saying, don't say this in your heart. Who shall descend into the deep? That is to bring Christ up again from the dead. Well, wait a minute. This is strange talk. But what is our righteousness saying in our heart? The word is nigh thee. It's in your mouth and it's in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, thou shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Here's the amazing part. Paul saying something that's, unless you're reading it from beginning to end, it's kind of when you dip into it, like step in there, it's hard to know exactly what he's saying. He said, your righteousness, you born again people, it doesn't say this. Well, what doesn't it say? And he says it doesn't say it. I'm not talking about that it doesn't say it with its mouth. It doesn't say it with its heart. Well, what are you, what? It doesn't say this. Who shall ascend into heaven? He said that is to bring Christ down. Now, wait a minute. Of all my years, I've been saved ever since I was about 11 or 12. I never remember just inadvertently checking my heart or my thoughts and me walking around thinking this, who shall ascend into heaven? I don't think I've ever thought that. I don't think I've ever caught myself. Somebody, you know, daydreaming. Penny for your thoughts, what were you thinking? I was thinking about who shall ascend into heaven. Paul, what are you saying? He said, that's to bring Christ down from above. Or I'll tell you something else you shouldn't say in your heart. Okay, Paul, I didn't understand the first one, so you might as well give me the second one too. Don't say this in your heart. Who shall descend in the deep? Because that is to bring Christ up. Now, in all of my years, fishing, you know, your mind just gets relaxed. And somebody says, boo, you'll just jump out of your skin because you're real relaxed. You weren't ready for it. Nobody's ever slipped up and said, What was you thinking? I was thinking, you caught me. I was thinking, who shall descend unto the deep? Oh, I guess I brought Christ up. What's he saying? Do you know? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. What he was saying was this. The word of faith that is nigh in you is that this work of salvation has already been absolutely made 100% complete. There's nothing left to be done on it. It's a total paid bill. It's totally done. When he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive. And he's sitting at the right hand of the Father. There's nothing more for him to do. And oh, besides for that, before he did that, he descended in the deep. And when he descended in the deep, the Bible said he made an open display of them, triumphing over them. Everything that he needed to do, spirit, soul, and body, was manifested in that cross, in that death, and in that resurrection. He said this to them that he was trying to say, they're having a hard problem because they don't believe the one that we're believing in is the one that has completed this. But you've got to believe this. There's got to be no answer in your heart to say, when is this going to be manifest? When is this going to be complete? Well, Pastor, I don't do that. Oh, listen. When you walk around or you live out 15, 20 years of your life waiting, I believe He's going to come and heal me. He's going to do it. I believe He's going to take my depression. I believe He's going to do it. Paul was saying, let me tell you something. He's not going to come. He's not going to come because what you're saying is He needs to come. In my case, I'm looking for Him to do it. And God says He cannot do it the second time. He cannot descend another time for you. And when you say, I'm waiting for Him, He says what you're doing is you're waiting for this thing to be made complete, and it's already 100% complete. You cannot say in your heart, it's coming. I know one day I'm going to get it. He says that's to bring Him up from what He's already done. Well, I don't know why that you've left me right here in this pain in my side, but I know you want to heal me. Let me tell you something. As far as God is concerned, every bit of your healing, every bit of your depression, every bit of your fear, every bit of your anxiety, everything was laid on Him. And God said, it is 1,000% complete. There's nothing else to do. He's never going to descend again and come and do the work and present it to you. It's already been made manifest. It's already been made manifest. Was I shouting? Is that important? Oh, yeah. Why? Why is that important? Because I can tell you, Hebrews 11. So we've got a few scriptures here. Hebrews, it's in here, 11. 1. No. I'm not going to teach on faith all through this. I just got to get that one scripture here in front of us. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it, the people that I'm about to talk about, he says, the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. We've taught on all that. Got a lot of teaching on it. So that the things which are seen are not made of the things which do appear. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous in God, testifying of his gifts, and by it being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. Now this, listen. The other is the foundation for this. The Romans 10 is the foundation for Hebrews 11:6. But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, two things, and that he is the rewarder of them who diligently. Everybody say diligently.
Diligently.
Seek him. Once you begin to understand that it's a done deal. See, you cannot find, come to me afterwards and say, I found it, I want to see it. You cannot find that Jesus ever asked the Father. He did not ask the Father when he went to pray for people. Father, I'm asking you to heal them. For you to ask God to heal your body. Now you say you're being real technical. No, this is vitally important. Vitally. For you to ask God to heal your body is to ask Him, can Jesus do this again for me? Because what He did is not working for me. Can He come a second time? Friend, He's never going to leave heaven again. He's there. But what is done is done. For you to say, Lord, I'm asking you to heal this person. You say, that's a technique. No. That's the absolute foundation of your faith. You've got to understand this. It will never, ever be done again. You can't ask Him to heal this person. Why? Because He has already, absolutely, 1,000% already done it. Well, herein lies the problem. Wait a minute. If He's already done it, why are they still walking around like that? Then Hebrews 11 takes you to this place. He says, anybody that comes to God must understand this. He loves faith. But faith is this. You must believe that He is what? Exists? Oh, way beyond existence. He is the sum total of everything that you're believing Him for. And He is the great I Am. He's the absolute. His love was 100%. It maxed out on the cross. You can't get Him to come and do any more because it's already done. But anybody that comes before Him must believe that He is, and He is the rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. When they stand there and believe that, Lord, You have done this. You have absolutely done this. I can't ask You. Jesus never, ever, ever, ever did Jesus say, I'm asking You, Father, to heal them. His was always directives. His was always to take the authority, like yours and mine is, to take the authority and say, I say, rise up and walk. If it's in your personal life, You're never, ever, ever, ever to ask Him to heal you. It's already been done. Well, what if the pain is still there? What if the anxiety is still there? He is a rewarder of them who diligently seek Him, who take what He has done. Jesus said, I say unto you, two words, two says in there. There's about eight of them, epo and lego. I say unto you, he who puts in a lego, a continual discourse, believing that whatsoever he saith shall come to pass. I'm not asking you for it. Stop. There's some things you have to ask for. Now, some things I ask for. I ask. I don't understand. I don't. What's your direction today? What's your wisdom today? But when it comes to me praying for you, or you praying for yourself, for your healing, for your finances, for your deliverance, for the anxiety, there's never, ever, ever one time that you have to ask, God, will you do this? He's already done it. Then you stand up. And if it doesn't happen, well, what if it doesn't happen? Well, I can tell you. Let's turn to James. Hallelujah. I mean, you're glad you're here this morning. Me too. I'm glad I'm here. Hallelujah, Jesus. Look at verse 11. Or let's look at verse 10. He said, take my brethren, the prophets, who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering and affliction and patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job. James 5:11. You've heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord. And that the Lord is very pitiful. He's compassionate, has tender mercies. But above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by earth, neither by any other oath. But let your yeas be yeas and your nays be nays. Lest you fall into condemnation. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save or heal the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he's committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another, that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And look, he gives us an example of one of those prophets that he mentioned in verse 10 as an example. Elijah is the prophet, was a man subject unto like passions as we. If you made him too mad, he'd probably cuss. Maybe. He had to guard his mind, his heart, against lust. He had to watch out for this. He had to watch out. Meaning he was not a robot. He was a living human being. A man like us. Elijah was subject unto like passions as we, and prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again. And the heavens gave rain. And the earth brought forth fruit. He said this in verse 16. The last part of it. The effectual. Everybody say effectual. The effectual fervent. Everybody say fervent. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth, man or woman availeth much. Elijah was subject to like passion as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Now, one other scripture, last one, but you'll like it. You don't have to save your place there because we're not coming back to it. But turn to 1 Kings chapter 18. Hallelujah. Elijah takes all these prophets of Baal, kills them. Ahab's the king. Let's look at verse 41. Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up. This is James' fulfillment. James is talking about Elijah praying and causing the rain to come about, and how that we should have an effectual, fervent prayer life, just like Elijah. And Elijah said in verse 41 unto Ahab, get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of the abundance of rain. And so Ahab went up to eat and to drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Mount Carmel, to the top of Carmel. And he cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees. Now, again, I'm in the Old Testament, but the New Testament told us to look back. Is that right? It said, take him as an example of an effectual, fervent prayer. And it says that he said, he put his face between his knees. His physical posture identified how serious he was. It's 3.5 years it hasn't rained. And God says to break the drought. If God says break it, then that's God's will. If the blood of Jesus has healed you, that's God's will. To go and say, Jesus, I've got this pain in my side. Will you heal me? I'm asking you to heal me. No. He's already done that. Now that's vitally important. Because the way you approach it identifies your faith. But you can speak to it. I take the directive and I say, he bore in his body my infirmities. Well, what if it didn't go away just then? Well, he says, if once you elders pray for somebody, then he tags this on it. They will be healed. But if they're not healed, take Elijah for an example. So with faith and patience and endurance, you win this thing. Well, what kind of example did you set? Go up. It's broken. Glory be to God. I just take it by faith. I'm not going up to the mountain. You said it. I believe it. I'm not going to. It never would have rained. But if you believe that He is, here's the deal. If you come to the conclusion and you see in that word, He wants me whole. I don't have to beg Him. This is my bread. This is my inheritance. I don't have to wait. Well, He's going to heal. I'll tell you what He's going to do. He's going to heal me 6 months from now at an opportune time in the whole city. It's going to blaze. How could He do that? He who spared not His own Son, how could He not with Him freely give you all things? Your healing's now. Your recovery's now. You have to understand all the price has been paid now. But wait a minute. Arguments come into effect. After I've prayed, it's still there. Well, I've got a problem here. Either God's a liar, or there's something I don't understand. See, I love it when the prayer of faith, when I can pray for you and you're instantly healed. I'll tell you something better, and you know this. I don't draw you unto myself. The best place for you is to get your healing at home by yourself. That's maturity. Sometimes we got to get other people to do our praying for us or pray with us. But the higher state of maturity in Christ is when you just believe that what His Word says and you can go there. Now, other people can support you in prayer. But all they're ever going to do is they're going to help bring your faith to a place where you yourself can accept it as a done deal. And when it's done inside of you, then it's done. Okay. Elijah goes. God tells him it's broke. Go break it. Okay. I'll just stand down here on the bottom of this mountain. He goes up. He tells the king, this thing is over. The famine is going to be over as of today. I can hear rain. I can hear rain. So he goes up there and he prays. And I like the posture. It's just indicative. It tells you this man's serious. His effectual, fervent prayer. He's not eating bonbons, sitting in front of the TV. He's like, this is serious business. I'm either going to live, this nation's going to live or die. I've got to get serious. And he says that he cast himself to the ground on the earth and he put his face between his knees. I come here, Harry. You P90X graduate. You got boots on. Get on your knees. Now put your face between your knees. I can't do that. I can do that. Oh, okay. Woo! This is Elijah's posture. Is he serious? How you doing down there, buddy? Okay, good. Don't get up till I tell you to. Okay, I'm going to read a bunch of scripture here, okay? Okay. He's a P90X grad. He can do it. And Ahab went up to eat and to drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Mount Carmel. Or top of Carmel, and he cast himself down to the ground. He put just what Harry's doing right now, his face between his knees, because he didn't want any distraction. And he said to his servant, now you can come up. Okay. Now, no, you stay right there. No, because you got to go back in just a minute. He told me, I'm your servant, go up and look towards the sea. He says, go up now. Step over there. That's where it's going to happen at. Go up now, he says, and look towards the sea. And he went up and looked. And he's waiting for the report. Now you tell me, go. Okay, thanks. I'm going to go get the report. You prayed the prayer of faith. Because it's a done deal. Man, I'm going to go look. And I'm going to see. And I'm going to come back and give you a good report. You didn't do anything. the pain is still in my side. We might as well get up and go to Perkins. See what you stay right there. See what you believe. What you believe, your doctrine about healing, you can live or die. Now there, I say this in all, and I look to the Holy Spirit really with all sincerity. I say this with all. I'm not going to name a name, but this woman, I already messed up. I already messed up. This person is a hero of mine. I don't know that in heaven that I'll be able. I'm not saying this to preface this so I can get you to pull over. I really don't know in heaven I'll be able to carry the weight of her glory. She emptied out coliseums and loved God in a place that few people ever love Him. But you've got to be careful when experience is your teacher rather than the Word. See, if I, night after night, come in here and a whole bunch of you, thousands of you, come in here and the Holy Ghost comes on you and all kinds of manifestations come because of that anointing. I mean, people get healed, people, all kinds of, damnable diseases, and people get out of wheelchairs, and you watch the anointing get people out of their horrible conditions. And you depend on that anointing, and that anointing never lets you down, because it does. It gets people out of wheelchairs. The only thing is, as always, almost always, there's a remnant. There's still a bunch of people who didn't get it. Now, what do you do with that? What do you do with it? If your experience is your teacher, if not, you can't blame the anointing, because the anointing is perfect. The anointing is a person. His name is the Holy Spirit. But if your experience, and I can understand exactly why, if I'm watching Him blanket a place, then it would seem to reason if He got up hundreds, He got done everything He wanted to do. What I understand by others, as has been, and I say this only that the grace of God help us, and these people in heaven would say, testify of these things on earth in truth, not in condemnation, so that the church may be prepared to the up and coming bride. I'm sure that these people would say this. If you adopt a doctrine like this, well, I don't know why He didn't heal everybody. He could have, since He did so much. But since He didn't, maybe there's a reason God doesn't heal everybody. Do you know what that happens? What happens in a program like that? If you begin to accept a doctrine based on your experience rather than the Word, then something inside of you is prepping you for the future. It's prepping you to understand. You're thinking there's a sovereignty here that He did so much, and if He did so much, and if He didn't do the rest, then it must not be necessarily His will. My friend, we have ample Scripture to tell you that He's never going to come down again. He's done it once. And if He did it once for all, He did it for everybody. And even when you don't understand and I don't understand, and it's not that even when we're looking at it and say, well, that eight of them got up, what about the two? We still cannot, out of our own experience, conclude He left these this way so that there's a reason that He wants to teach them, or He wants to teach us. Do you know what have happened to those, some of those people? this person in particular. They go home early. Disease, resident disease, took up in this person's body, and they died of the very thing. And as again I say, they are a hero of mine. But when you begin to believe in an experience rather than what the Word of God, because the Holy Spirit's not teaching you that, experience is. And you've got to believe this, even when the report comes back. See, after I've prayed for you, that's not the end of it. If you didn't get your healing, he goes back and he says to him, I'm going to go the second time, okay? He's telling me, go again. Okay, what's this? This is the second time. Okay. But he said seven more on top of the one, so that's eight. So this is two. So pray again. How's your back? Okay. Effectual fervent. That man's serious about it. I'm going to go look. I hate to disturb him. He's serious. The pain's still here. No. There's nothing out there. Did you want me to see something? What's there supposed to be out there? Cloud? There's not one out there. Are you serious? Are you praying? Pray again. Go ahead. Well, no, you tell me to go again. What's this? Three?
This is the third time.
Three times a charm. Three times. Your doctrine's messed up. Are you serious about this? You want me to go again, don't you? I can see it in your face. Four, five, six, seven, eight. Here's the eighth one. I'm going to tell you something. I saw something. And it wasn't even a big thundercloud. All it was the pain just eased a little bit. All it was about the size of a man's hand. But I can tell you what. If you'll believe that the ease is the first part of everything that He said that He is, and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him, He will not lie to you. Even if you didn't get in a prayer line, even if you didn't get it once, twice, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, innumerable amount of time, if you believe that He is and that He is a rewarder of those who'll stay in there and say, I call my body whole. I'm not going to relent. I call my body whole. He will come. He will come. Oh, why didn't He do it the first time? Let me tell you something. Sometimes there's a warfare that there's not on the other time. Sometimes I've prayed and it just happened. Sometimes there's a bulwark just launched against you that wasn't there before. Dave, I think I've got the chronology of this right. But if I'm wrong, it's not because I mean to be. He said he went to Brazil. Now, I've heard him tell this two or three times and personally. He said he went to Brazil and this man, or this lady brought this kid up, this little child, and the feet were around backwards. And he prayed the prayer, Jesus, Jesus. And he said he saw, it looked like little moles, you know, like they're in your yard. Those little burrowing moles. He said he saw this little, he could see them in both legs. Just, it was just going right up. And he said as it kind of furrowed itself up the leg or down, whichever way, he said as it was going down, the power of God, he said you could watch those limbs just turn like that and the feet just turned right out. Just like that. Now that's an experience. But if you based it on that, and then the next one, because sure enough, he went again. And I think it was the next time. Somebody else, a woman this time. No, it was a man. Brought up the child, and the child was like the other child. Had the feet turned around backwards. And he prayed just like he did before. And nothing. 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 But you know what he left that man with? He left him with a doctrine, not of experience. He left him with a doctrine of the Word. that you must believe that He is. And if you do believe that He is, He will come at the end of your faith. He went back 1 year later, and the guy brought up a totally healthy child with shoes and feet and everything just like it's supposed to be. And the guy was apologizing. From Portuguese to English, they translated, and he apologized. He thought he was behind. He thought he was in a beginner's course. He told Dave, It took me one whole year to speak and talk by the Word of God these feet back around to where they're supposed to be. And Dave said, oh my God, you mean this stuff really does work? Now it won't work if you sit in front of the TV while you're sick. And it won't work if you knit and yarn while you're sick. And it won't work if you get on the phone and tell everybody how sick you are. But if you go in, nobody's helped me. Dave, Pastor Bronk, the elders have laid hands on me, and it has not. And I've gone back 7, 8, 10 times. There's no cloud. But I can tell you this. He cannot lie. He is a rewarder of them who diligently seek Him. And you better believe that when He went, the Bible says here, we didn't read it, but He said, the last report was, I see a cloud. Oh, I like it when the thunder rolls and the God of all heaven just... I mean, He's not there, and then all of a sudden, boom, He thunders out of heaven. It's all done. Boom. That's great. I like it when it happens like that. But He looked. He's like, that's a small... There's no clouds in Israel for 3.5 years. That's just a small, just about the size of a man's hand. That to you, in the midst of your pain and infirmity, is a couple more hours of rest from the anxiety that you didn't have the night before. That's a flicker of hope. Don't stop confessing the Word. Don't stop speaking the Word. That's ministry. That's the size of a man's hand. He didn't come back and say, woo, the thing is about to explode. All He said was, there's just a little change. And Elijah said, that's it. It's been birthed. Get up. Let's go. And by the time they got down to the mountain, the place was drenched. It come up just like that. What I'm telling you is, when you can't get in a grace line and when you can't get it hands laid on you, that's not the end. That's only the beginning. You as a person have an absolute covenant with your God. It's already been done. Don't you stop. Stay in front of Him night and day until something changes on the inside of you. And that, my friend, is called endurance, and it's called hope that's not deferred. It will produce. Hallelujah to God. Elijah, you can get up. Praise God. Give Him a great big hand. Would you stand with me this morning? You did good. You did good. Father, we love You. We release Your life into these homes, into these marriages, into these minds, into these bodies, into every facet of their life, into their finances. Lord, too many have taken their experience over the last 3 or 4 years and defined it as God's will because their finances have not reversed. Don't stop. Don't stop. Continue to speak. Continue to speak. Father, I release Your life. I release Your life. Oh, and by the way, you know this, but I say this lovingly. You cannot say, He's my healer today. He's my provider today. And then tomorrow, the next person you see, say, well, I'm really going through it, and I don't know if we're going to make it. Repent right there in front of that person. If you'll embarrass yourself, you'll stop doing it. Father, bless them because you want them whole. Would you just lift your hands because His reign is about to come on you? Not just right now, but as you leave this building today, the power of His glory is about to come upon you. And your life change. I release your life. And I release your change. I release your glory, Father, over their lives. Now let the clouds, whether it be of a buoyancy, of the strength of a powerful thunderhead, Lord, rising up out of the wilderness or the size of a man's hand, I pray that God, that hope will begin to arise in their spirits. I release your life. Now, will you say this with me? I say that in Jesus' name, I am what He says I am. Father, put a watch over my mouth. That I speak and I believe and that I endure. Father, I believe you far beyond this ministry, this house, this pastor, or any man on the planet. I say to you that Jesus Christ has already accomplished all that I need. Therefore, I say, Jesus, you are my healer, my provider, my peace, my harmony with my family. You are the love of God. Jesus, I worship you and give you all the glory. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Give somebody a great big hug. It's been good. You're blessed.